In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Usually when we hear the parable of the prodigal son, we identify with the prodigal son. And of course, the parable of the prodigal son is read during those weeks before the beginning of the great Lenten spiritual effort. And so we tend to think in terms of how during the year we have not been as spiritually focused and diligent and devoted as we might have been. And we think of ourselves as the prodigal son returning to a life of spiritual effort. And all of that is certainly on the money, on the mark. That meaning is there in the parable of the prodigal son. But there is a great deal of meaning in the parable of the prodigal son. If we remember why Jesus gave this parable in the gospel, he had given some other teachings as well. And then he gave this parable. And this parable and the other teachings were given to the Pharisees. He was trying to teach the Pharisees. He was teaching the Pharisees. And who knows how many among the Pharisees responded to his teaching. And who in the parable of the prodigal son is most like the Pharisees? That would be the elder brother. The elder brother. Who, when the father divided all that he had between his two sons, took his half of all of his father's living, all of the living of the house, and diligently applied himself to the work of the house, worked in the fields, never did anything that he ought not to have done. This parable is at its center about compassion. It is a parable about compassion. Yes, you have lived this decent life. All that I have is yours, the father says. But have compassion. The reality of an active spiritual life begins with compassion. This is the Sunday before the Sunday of forgiveness and forgiveness vespers. And there are a lot of ways that we can go about forgiveness in our own understanding and not have the kind of forgiveness that God gives to us, not have the kind of forgiveness that the Father gives to the Son. When the Son returns to the Father does not say, "You have returned to my house, you will obey my rules, you are on probation. I have no reason to trust you, but I forgive you." We tend to forgive in that kind of way. That is not how the Father forgives. That is not how God forgives us. That is not how we are expected to forgive one another. That is not the kind of forgiveness that we are expected to offer others on Forgiveness Sunday. Those reservations are a kind of self-protective cheating on the truth. The Father receives the Son back to his house with joy and compassion, and that means total and complete forgiveness. Rather than putting conditions on him, he puts the best robe in the house on him, refuses to treat him like less than his son, but treats him as fully his son, returned to him to the degree that his father casts any fear of any vulnerability that he might have to this wayward son to the wind. This is love that he receives his son with. Not only does he give him the robe, but the ring that he gives him is traditionally understood as the father's signature ring, the ring that you would use to stamp a letter or a document to show that you are of the father's house. He puts that ring on this son's finger. He gives him the authority of the house. Before he gave him all of his inheritance, and now he goes beyond that, restores to him what he had before as a member of that house. Now he may have wasted the things that the father had owned as far as the good things of the world. They may be gone. He was prodigal with them. But there is still the home itself, the house, the home of the Father. And the robe of that house is given to him. The signature ring is given to him. The authority of the Father is now shared with him. That's the way he receives his son back. We tend to receive one another in forgiveness with a complicated background underneath of the forgiveness, some conditions. There is a certain amount of fear, a certain amount of reservation. I forgive you, but trust has to be earned. I know myself. I can see myself guilty of this oftentimes. I know as a Christian I am expected to forgive, but trust, how can I trust? Trust makes me vulnerable. The Father is vulnerable. He loves his son just as much or even more than he did before he went away. There is no resentment. There is no pride. There is only compassion and love. And this is how we are called to love one another. This is the return that we make as prodigals to the life that we share with Christ. This is how he is. This is how we are called to be. Like the Father. The Blessed Theophylact says that every virtue is simple, simple and single. Forgiveness, compassion is single. But the opposite of every virtue, he says, is many-branched. It branches out into different ways, just like the division between forgiveness, yes, but not trust yet, you must earn that. I am vulnerable, etc., etc. All of those things are involved with our resentment, our pride, our fear. None of those things are involved in the singleness of the virtue of compassion. They all become involved when we split things up and hold back those reservations so that there really is not the reality of forgiveness, because forgiveness is simple. With the simplicity of compassion, with the simplicity of humility. Those are the things that it brings together into one. That is how the Father forgives the Son. That is how we are expected to forgive one another. And if we are prodigal, we are prodigal more in that kind of way. Having left the way that is the way of Christ and having made divisions within ourselves and our piety so that we become Pharisees. We keep the letter of being an Orthodox Christian, but we don't understand the simplicity and directness of the spiritual life that we are called to live. And so when we think of the prodigal son, we should think first of all of the elder brother who, because of his resentment, his sense of having been betrayed, having done all the things that he has done, but obviously has not achieved the spirit of the house of the Father. He has observed the letter, but the spirit of the house of the Father, the spirit of forgiveness and love and compassion, that he lacks completely. And instead he has allowed his mind and his heart to be split in these ways. And this is the message that Jesus has for the Pharisees. This is how you want to be received into the Father's house, into the house of our Heavenly Father. This is how we expect to be received when we come to the Divine Liturgy, by God and by all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Is this how we receive them? Do we hold those reservations back so that we can protect our vulnerability and remain Pharisees and not truly follow Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.